JC Corcoran Podcast.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that JC is out there running his mouth. Let me read you a comment that he left to someone. Hello, Beth, you Nazi cow.
I know I'm speaking for the entire platoon when I say this run should be postponed until this platoon is better rested.
Hey, I need to speak to JC. I've been trying to talk to him since before the election.
Yeah, he's a big pain in the butt. What, can I just give him a message?
Just tell him I think he's an arrogant jackass. I'll tell you the reason why.
All right. Just so you know, by the way, he drives me crazy, too. I hate him.
Well, he made the comment that he said, who do these religious people think they are, you know, when they were going to vote against the stem cell? Who do they think they are? And I thought, you know, what an arrogant jackass.
Right. I agree. He's always doing stuff like that.
And who are you? Are you JC?
Yeah.
I figured you might be.
Are you an electrician?
You hang up. Big dummy.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Thursday, January 20th, 2022. 292 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. How you doing, kids? And welcome to JCOnTheLine.com on National Disc Jockey Day. You think I'm making that up? I'm not. And the reason it is today is because one of the first disc jockeys in this country, Alan Freed, who helped popularize the term rock and roll in the 1950s, died on this date, 57 years ago. And I can only tell you that, and I'm sure this is true of pretty much every profession these days, or at least most of them, that it ain't what it used to be. Because when I got into this business years and years and years ago, it was so much fun. Oh my gosh, you just have no idea how much fun it was. Radio stations had full staffs. There were people running around all the time. You had all these beautiful women who gravitated to the broadcast industry, whether it was as radio personalities or in sales, marketing, promotion. You had all this stuff. And then, of course, there was a little bit of glamour to the business. And so that attracted people. Women are attracted to men who are influential and or funny. And, you know, most of the people who are on the radio, oops, I'm sorry, I'm getting the, hello there, Fox 2, hello. Yes. Women, generally speaking, are attracted to men who have power, influence, and who are funny, all right? Beautiful women love funny guys. And at least back then, when I got into the business, it was a romantic profession, at least the way it was perceived by the American public and by, and here it comes again, chicks. Then, of course, you got free stuff. And, you know, when you got concert tickets, not only were they free, but they were usually like somewhere within the first 10 or 20 rows. And let me just tell you something. You go out on a date, especially a first date. Hey, come to the concert with me. Got really good tickets. It's a great show. And come on with me. Okay, I'll go. And then you say, oh, by the way, before we go to our seats, we have to go backstage first. So now you take a woman backstage, and most women, most people have never been backstage. And so now they're sort of bedazzled by the whole thing. You get to do this? Really? Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm backstage. And are we going to go to our seats now? No, no, I got one more thing to do. I have to go on stage in front of 20,000 people and introduce the band and just say, you know, welcome everybody, blah, blah, blah. You go out there and, you know, how you doing? Everybody? Hello, St. Louis. Couple of boos in there too, but that's all right. And And then you would finish doing that, and you would walk back, and there's your date standing there, and then you would hold her hand and escort her to the seat, usually somewhere in the first couple of rows. And let me just tell you something. I have just described for you the world's best aphrodisiac. Because that's the name of this job, really. It's Dig Me. It might not be the name, but it's the description. The name disc jockey is the stupidest thing. It's so disrespectful and so dismissive and makes you such an easy target. I haven't used the term disc jockey ever. You know, even people who are in talk radio get called disc jockeys, even though they're not even playing any music. We're not even using discs anymore. Everything is digital anyhow. So then, talk about dismissive. Back in the 80s, they started with the shock jock stuff. Now, here's the thing. Shock radio and shock jocks, that was a very, very specific brand of radio that I never did. And yet, I still got called shock jock all the time. I still get called that. I refuse to do any interview with anybody for anything until the writer who is interviewing me agrees not to use the term shock jock in addressing me or in describing me, or just don't use it in the story. But people just glommed onto that in the 1980s because it sounded cool. Hey, shock jock. What they didn't understand is they were really, really hurting you, hurting business, because there are a lot of advertisers and corporate entities that had a big long list of radio stations and radio personalities all over the country that they would not advertise with because they were doing shock radio. And I'm convinced, by the way, that a lot of these writers and there's a lot of creepy people in the journalism business. I'm convinced they were using it on purpose because they knew that it was dismissive and they knew that calling you that would hurt you and hurt business for you. But like I said, you know, the business has changed, and, you know, I was whining about it for a long time until you start getting out. And people are like, JC, my job is the same way. I specifically remember the day that I realized, you know what? This is going on everywhere. And it was my physical therapist, because I've had a couple of back operations and a foot operation and all this sort of stuff. You got to go do the physical therapy. And I would always go to the same place. And I watched over the course of, I don't know, a 10 or a 15-year period, you know, you'd go in. And I remember you'd go in and the physical therapist was with you for the entire hour. And, you know, they were paying you lots of attention and everything. Now you go and they're juggling like two or three people all at the same time. And the physical therapist isn't even in the room with you for most of the thing. They say, all right, do 20 of these and I'll see you in a few minutes. And they walk out of the room because they've got another patient because they scheduled two people at one time usually. And then they come back in and they go, okay, you're laying there. It's like, yeah, I finished them 10 minutes ago. So, all right, do another 20. This time do this and this. Roll up this towel, put this behind your knees and then do that. All right, can you do that? All right, do 20 of these and then rest and do another 20. And then they leave the room and they come back later. And it's like, it's just like everywhere. It's just reached a point in this country where I think every profession, everybody that ever had a good idea about how to do something in business has been ruined. You know what else I don't like? Is self-checkout at the grocery store. First of all, it's taken somebody's job away. That's number one. Number two, I buy lots of fruits and lots of vegetables and things like that. And you try to do self-checkout with some of that stuff, and you're standing there for 20 minutes, and the lady has to come out from behind the little counter there and come and help you. And the same thing with buying alcohol, and I buy a lot of that too. If it's busy, you know, if it's busy, and some of these stores will have like, I'd probably say like 8 of these self-checkout things. And again, you have one person supervising over 8 of these things. And you don't have to be a math wizard to figure out how many jobs that probably eliminated. And you got one lady, you know, standing there behind the counter and something goes wrong or somebody needs assistance. Or you got to, you know, click on the alcohol thing, or you can't, you know, you can't find the barcode on the vegetable that you've just bought. They got to come and weigh it sometimes. And it's like, come on, boy, and try to get somebody to help you. You know, I've always been a big fan of Costco. I belong to that group, I guess you'd say, for probably 20 plus years. But boy, try to find somebody to help you. And they keep moving stuff. You know, you're used to going into a store and it's like, all right, I just need cat litter. I'll go right in. I go in there, the cat litter's been moved again. I don't know why they do this. They keep moving the cat litter. Now try to find somebody to help you. Good luck. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if it's supply chain or whatever the case. I went into Costco twice last week and both days, no cat litter. None. It's like I said in the grocery store the other day. I went in, no fucking chicken. The whole chicken little the area there empty except for one pack of wings and all the other chicken was gone. And then Joe Biden yesterday. Is it possible that he made the situation worse yesterday with his news conference? And I guess the reason that it lasted so long, what, it was almost 2 hours, something like that, is because he's getting pissed off about people questioning his stamina. So he figures, okay, I'll come out and I'll just stand there until even the reporters are going, can we go yet? Is this over? When's it going to be over? And Joe's up there going, yeah, my stamina, huh? You can just sit there until I'm goddamn good and ready to wrap this up. I couldn't believe that he could go that long without having to pee. Oh, and one more thing about National DJ Day. A good portion of what you hear on the radio these days isn't even coming from your home city. And in a lot of cases, the people who are talking to you, usually on the music stations, have never set foot in St. Louis. They have never, ever been to our hometown. But see, you got this digital technology now. They got these computers, and it's so easy. They made it so easy. What happens is, about 20 years ago, somebody says, I got this idea. How about if we come up with an idea where we can bring really experienced talent to smaller markets? And thus was the birth of something called voice tracking. And that is something, it's an industry term. And here's what happens. J.C. Corcoran does a live morning show in St. Louis. Okay, it's like, hi, you know, it's 8:10, blah, 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 you know, whole thing. And then at 10 o'clock when the show's over, you switch studios and you go into what's called a production studio, which means it's a studio reserved for recording things. And so you go in there and there's a piece of paper with all of the songs that are going to be played on a radio station in Springfield, Illinois. Just use that as an example. And they say, okay, we're going to have these five songs in a row. And then at 20 past the hour, you get a chance to talk. And you would record that going, that was 10cc. You're on the big 100 in Springfield, Illinois. Good morning, everybody. And then you enter that into the computer. The computer does the rest. And you can crank out a four-hour music show in about 15 minutes. The computer does everything. And if it's done right, people who are listening have no idea that there isn't somebody live talking to them. It's that seamless. And again, what have you done? You've eliminated a job because now that radio station in Springfield, Illinois doesn't have to pay anybody because you're coming in from St. Louis on the computer. I know people who do two or three of these every day. You finish with Springfield, Illinois, only took you 15 minutes. You got time to do two more radio stations. We got a station in Memphis and then another one in Parkersburg, West Virginia. And you would just the same thing. Here's the list of songs. Here's what time you take your break at 20 minutes past the hour, whatever the case may be. It's like, you know, all right, that was you too. You're on the big 100 in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Again, you've eliminated another job. And not just the job, the benefits. For a while in St. Louis, back around the turn of the century, somewhere in there, I was working at a radio station where somebody, I don't have any idea what this guy was thinking, but they had our news coming in from Cincinnati. Now, it's bad enough when you are sitting in Parkersburg, West Virginia, and you're listening to this guy because he never says anything about our city. He never is really talking about anything that's going on in town. We got this big football team here, big game. We've got these certain political issues. Everybody's talking about this guy isn't saying anything about it. Well, yeah, because he doesn't know anything about it. He's never been to Parkersburg, West Virginia. He's sitting in St. Louis. So I don't even know what the point of this was. But, you know, it would be like, you know, 8:30 time for the news. And I would push a button and it was a guy in Cincinnati reading the news. And he was constantly mispronouncing things. So then somebody said, we're going to send him a book of St. Louis pronunciations. It's not Creve Coeur. It's Creve Coeur. It's not Quanzo Martin. It's Conzo. And he would still constantly get it wrong because he didn't care. And there's lots of stories about me getting pissed off inside a radio station and just like tearing the place apart, turning it upside down. And 99% of those stories are false. They're just completely fabricated. But there was one. This asshole from Cincinnati one day pronounced the name Eunice Kennedy. All right, now that's not even a localism in St. Louis. That's a, you know, Kennedy family is like sort of famous. And Eunice Kennedy was one of the matriarchs of that family. She was sort of famous. And this news guy in Cincinnati says Eunice, and I lost it. And I'll say this. They listened to me because they knew it was bullshit. And Lori Mack was doing some news in the building for another radio station. I said, get her. She sounds great. And so that's what they did. And thus began my relationship with the wonderful Lori Mack, who is freezing today along with everybody else. Temperatures in the single digits and wind chill factors colder than that. It gives people on television and radio the opportunity to stumble through how they're going to say it. They don't know if they should say negative or minus or below. I always say below. It's 5 below. It's 10 below. These people are like, it's a negative 15. Or proving that they didn't put any thought into it, will say something like, it's a negative minus 14 below. Just pick one. All right, pick one. Oh. I want to apologize for yesterday in talking about these goofy diet scams that are going around. And I believe that I conflated Body Solutions with Nutrisystem. They are two separate companies, but neither one of them is any damn good, especially Body Solutions. Nutrisystem is the one where Terry Bradshaw's on, stuff like that, and they get all these former athletes to lose a bunch of weight. And what they don't do is come back and show you 6 months later after they go off the Nutrisystem, they're right back to being big fat pigs. You know, Terry Bradshaw did those Nutrisystem commercials for about a year. Have you seen him recently? We were talking about this yesterday. Have you seen him recently? He's bigger than he ever was. But the Body Solutions one, that's the one where you take a spoonful of this crap and throw it in a glass of water and you're supposed to drink it at night after your last meal, and the fat just melts away and turns into lean muscle, which physiologically isn't even possible. But they were paying people to lie like crazy. They were paying people to lie, and not just paying them very well. Well, now comes word that the Texas Attorney General on Wednesday sued Google, alleging the company asked local radio DJs to record personal endorsements for smartphones that they hadn't even used and that hadn't even been provided. In the lawsuit filed in Montgomery County, Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton said Google engaged in false and misleading practices in violation of the Texas Deceptive Trade Practices Consumer Protection Act. The lawsuit says Google hired iHeartMedia in October of 2019 to have its radio personalities, including those in markets in the Dallas and Houston areas, record advertisements for the Pixel 4, a Google brand smartphone. But at the time the advertisements were recorded, the lawsuit says the phone wasn't even released yet, and none of the DJs had used them. And they couldn't have used them because they weren't out yet. Where was this Texas Attorney General when all this Body Solutions stuff was going on? Better late than never, I guess. Better late than never. All right, enough about National Disc Jockey Day. Blues back in action. 3-game road trip coming up here. It was nice to see the Chris Pronger situation the other night and the raising of his jersey into the rafters. And I have a bizarre connection. It goes on between me and Chris Pronger. So everyone remembers a horrifying situation in the 1990s where Chris Pronger was hit with a slap shot, hit right in the sternum, and it stopped his heart briefly, and he went down like a bag of wet cement, and it was really, really scary, very dangerous, and could have been killed. Well, the cardiologist that treated him was my former brother-in-law, from my first marriage. And he was the one that treated him. He's the one that treats me now. So that gave us a lot to talk about when we were seated next to one another in the stadium club, the old Bush Stadium, down in the left field corner, and they put us all in there the night that Mark McGwire hit home run number 62. So we were sitting, that ball disappeared right below us. You know, we're sitting here, everybody just stopped eating, you know, we were just watching this thing, got our faces against the glass, and here comes the ball. Looks like it's coming right for us, and all of a sudden it starts curving, and it starts diving, and it just disappeared below us because you can't see. And we wonder, what happened? Well, he's rounding the bases, like clearly it was a home run. It went right underneath us. And so we did that, and we finished our meal, and then they had seats for us behind home plate. This was a pretty, pretty nice treatment. And like I said, through some sort of clerical error, I ended up sitting next to him up in the stadium club for dinner and the home run, and then about the third inning, we all moved down to those seats behind home plate. We're sitting next to each other again. Nice guy. We really had a nice chat. How's your heart, eh? Oh, mine's fine. How's yours, eh? Speaking of St. Louis media, and I was just a moment ago, look what's going on over at Channel 5. Casey Nolan, the guy with the big ears and the glasses. I mean, that guy's been there for probably 20 years. Yesterday, the station releases a little, you know, press release that says, turns out that Casey Nolan and this reporter, Abby Larico, the one who has like the whole bottom half of her face missing, she has no chin. It's like, here's hair, there's a forehead, there's eyes, there's a nose, there's a mouth. Where's the rest of your head? It's missing. She has no chin. These two, apparently, for about 4 years, have been doing the horizontal bob. And I don't know if he got the job or she got the job, but they're both moving to Washington, D.C., and they're getting married in the summer. This is not unprecedented. Back in the 90s, you had a reporter by the name of Jeff Fowler. And on weekends, he would anchor the Channel 5 weekend news with another reporter by the name of Gene Jackson, okay? That was confusing for a lot of people because Channel 5 had a reporter by the name of Randy Jackson, and I think a lot of people thought that Gene Jackson and Randy Jackson were related or married or something like that, and they weren't. What did happen, though, is that Jeff Fowler and Gene Jackson made a pact and said, all right, tonight's the night. You go home and tell him you want the divorce. You go home and tell her you want the divorce. And they both left their spouses, and Jeff Fowler and Gene Jackson got married to one another. Malcolm Briggs and Matushka Lindo. Matushka was fresh out of college. I think she had worked about a year at a television station in Iowa, came to Channel 5, and Malcolm was all over her like a cheap suit, and they got married. They've been married for like 20 years now. And another one that's going on, briefly, a couple of years ago, there was a reporter, anchor guy by the name of Rafer Weigel. Rafer, R-A-F-E-R. Nice guy, by the way. And he and Margie Ellisor are engaged. This is why I don't understand these policies that some businesses have where they say, the only rule we have here is no fraternization. If you work here, you can't be dating somebody who also works here. And it's like, that's stupid because, you know, if you're working, especially when you're young and they, you know, try to get 16 hours a day out of you, that's your whole life. The people you are with at work are your entire universe. And where better to get to know somebody than at work, where you sort of see them in all sorts of situations. You see them reacting under pressure. You see them just relating. You get to see how they just sort of treat people in general. Next thing you know, you run into them in the commissary, the lunchroom, whatever the case may be. You start talking, and the next thing you know, hey, would you like to get a cup of coffee after work today? Sure. And it's off to the races. It makes perfect sense. These companies I've worked for a couple of these places where they say you can't date anybody. And there was always somebody boinking somebody. And everybody sort of knew to just sort of keep it quiet, just let them be. I remember in Fort Wayne, Indiana, running out of a pizza place once when I went in there, and a guy who would have ratted on us, my date and I, and she was working in the sales department, and I was working the 10 to 2 nighttime shift. We came walking in, saw this guy, and just did a pirouette and poosh, right out of the place because he would have ratted on us. And we both would have lost our jobs. Went to work at a radio station in Buffalo. They had a big meeting, and they announced my hiring, and they brought everybody in. And they also had these things, the 97 Rock Angels. And it was basically, Yeah, if you could imagine, like cheerleaders for a radio station, they would show up and everything, and they would all be wearing the same 97 Rock t-shirt and, you know, full hair makeup. And so they brought everybody in for this meeting. We hired this guy, J.C. Corcoran, to come up and say a few words, and everybody is there. It was very nice, you know? And the boss was like, you know, and we've explained to him, you know, we have certain rules around here. You can't boink the 97 Rock Angels. And he, as he's speaking, I'm looking at these girls going, I think I want that one first, and then I'll take a run at that one. It was a different time, okay? It was like 40 years ago. It's the way things were. Did you get an alert on your phone yesterday? People all over the state of Missouri got the message on their phones from the Highway Patrol asking folks near Gotham City to be on the lookout for a green and purple 1978 Dodge 3700, the exact car the Joker drove in the first Batman movie with Jack Nicholson. Well, there is no Gotham City in Missouri, so obviously it was a mistake. They sent out a follow-up that said, disregard that message. It turns out it was a routine test to make sure the system works, but somebody checked the wrong box, so it went out statewide. And you hear about stuff like that all the time. You had one job, and you messed it up. The Olympics start in a couple of weeks, and NBC Sports not sending announcers to Beijing. They're going to be broadcasting out of a facility in Connecticut. Mike Tirico will host. He'll still be in attendance for the opening ceremony, though, and he's going to get his ass out of Beijing. All right, television tonight, the seventh season premiere of Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, 9 o'clock on TBS. Very, very funny show. Late night, Will Forte and Jennifer Coolidge on with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel's got Jason Bateman. Dionne Warwick on with Colbert. Was that a mistake or something? I do not like her. And I could go into a long dissertation about why I do not like her. Anyhow, she's on tonight. Ed Helms is another guy I don't get. I'm with James Corden, and Ricky Gervais pops up with Seth Meyers. Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, fined $50,000. $50,000, that's a lot of money, because he smacked one of his own players across the helmet during last weekend's game. He claims that he was out on the field hitting his guy in the head because he was about to be thrown out of the game, and he didn't want to get him thrown out of the game, so he hit him in the head. That made sense to Bruce Arians, I guess. Just remember, a couple of months ago, also made sense for him to bring in a certain receiver who has had nothing but trouble. Remember John Hinckley, the guy who shot Reagan? Well, he's starting a band and he's looking for members. And every joke I thought that would fit into this was so offensive that I just decided to keep all of them to myself. I'm keeping every joke I thought of to myself. All right, birthdays today. Rainn Wilson to The Office, 56. Lorenzo Lamas, 64. Bill Maher, 66. His show, does it come back this weekend? It's either this weekend or next. He's 66 today. Paul Stanley of Kiss, 70. David Lynch, the guy who brought us things like Twin Peaks and Eraserhead and Blue Velvet and The Elephant Man and Mulholland Drive. Very, very weird man. I've had the opportunity to interview him, and boy, is he strange. But I'll tell you what, just when you think you got a guy figured out, he comes along in the midst of all this and puts together a movie called The Straight Story. The Straight Story. Richard Farnsworth, the guy who was the coach for Wilford Brimley's character in The Natural. And this movie is fantastic. You know, it's an independent movie, but it is extremely, extremely well done. And it's based on a true story of a guy who lived in Nebraska, and he found out that his estranged brother, who lived in Wisconsin, was not doing well and might be on his deathbed, and ends up on a riding lawnmower, driving from Nebraska to Wisconsin, and all the stuff that happens to him along the way. Again, this is a marvelous movie. It's called The Straight Story. Almost nobody has seen it. Almost nobody's ever heard of it, but I'm telling you, it's great. So check that out. David Lynch, by the way, 76 today. And Buzz Aldrin, the second man on the moon. And he'll be the first one to tell you that, by the way. This guy is not a pleasant person. He's 92 today. I don't know if you heard about this, but he's not Kanye West anymore. He's Ye. Anyhow, he's got a track out. He's doing a new song. And in it, he talks about beating Pete Davidson's ass. Yeah, he's going to beat up Pete Davidson. How would we know if he did? Pete Davidson always looks like he's got two black eyes. Anyhow, and with that, we say that's it for the Thursday, January 20th, 2022 edition of the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jcontheline.com. 292 days remaining in our American Democratic system as we have known it. We post every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock, and we archive everything. If you miss something, you just go back and pick it up. Email me, JC at jcontheline.com, on Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Back tomorrow. Thank you for spreading the word, letting everybody know we're here every morning. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.